morning, good afternoon. I'm Debbie Quain. You're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Today is Saturday, March the 1st, 2014. It's 12 noon Eastern Time. And this is this show was created for you. If you are a new or aspiring wedding planner and you just want a chance to ask some questions or connect with others who are just as passionate as you are about planning weddings for others, you're in the right place. Typically, I try to host the show live on the first Saturday of the month, which is today, right? However, the show usually airs at 12, no, come on, Deb. The show usually airs at 10 a.m. Eastern. However, today I'm in the midst of a live training with Wedding Business Guide, which happens at 10 a.m. for 4 Saturdays in a row. So occasionally there's a clash, and that happened today. So the class finished, the class I was hosting at 10 a.m. is over. So as a result, I bumped the live confetti episode, which is what's going on right now, to 12 noon. So I hope I haven't completely confused you, but normally the show would air at 10 a.m. on the first Saturday of the month, okay? So the best way to participate, I think, is just to head on over to weddingsforaliving.com/live, or you just type in confettilive.com, and I can see several of you are joining in from all parts of the world. That's wonderful. I really, really appreciate that. So the chat room is the best place to ask questions. However, because there is so much activity that I may miss the question, so I'm going to really start today's show by going through some of the questions that were submitted beforehand. That seems fair, right? And then come back and ask any of the live questions. I grabbed one question that I already saw earlier from Helga, who has to leave. So I'm going to try to address that, okay? And if you have a question or comment, yeah, type it in, but you might want to hold off as I'm answering other questions. Also, this is an interactive session, an informal session. So any questions that you have or feedback you have, you know, feel free to chime in. If I'm saying something that you don't agree with, or you have a better suggestion, or you have some to enhance, whatever, just please, you know, feel free to enter that in the chat. I will do my best to keep an eye on it. But those of you who know me with the bright and shiny objects, I try not to get distracted because I'll jump in halfway through the chat and have it all wrong. Also, there is a slight delay in what you're hearing and as I'm saying it. So there's probably about a 10-second delay. So that means I have to remember to wait to give you a chance to respond. But yeah, so if there's any of that disconnect, you're hearing me say something and then I'm like, it's not connecting. It's because of that. Okay, feel free to type your URLs in the chat room, you know, of your website, Facebook, Twitter handle, Pinterest, what else is there, LinkedIn, however you would like folks to connect with you offline outside of what's going on today, please feel free to do that. And I know several of you will have your own chat going on, you know, feel free. It's an open forum, but please just play nice, okay? If you prefer to call in and you're listening to the player on the screen, the number to call is 213-992-4358, okay? That you'll hear the recording, not recording, sorry, you'll hear the live broadcast through the phone. Just so you know, you can listen to, you know, replays of archived episodes. It plays on rotation any time of day. So you can either come to confettilive.com and hit play, or you can dial the phone number at any time. You might want to save it as a contact in your phone and you'll hear the replay and also live whenever it's live. And then I'm also going to add some other links if you prefer to listen via iTunes or via your native media player, where it's Windows Media or QuickTime. I'm going to put those links on there later on, okay? So welcome again, and I'm going to start with these questions today. I do want to mention, I can't get started, right? I keep saying these things. In the email I sent out, I included that you could text the word confetti to 71441, and you would get an automatic notification. unbeknownst to me, there was a problem with the texting service, and the person that pointed that out, I forgot her name, but thank you very much. You know who you are. Appreciate it. I didn't realize there was an issue. There was an error message coming back. I spoke to the provider, and they said there was an issue with T-Mobile and Sprint. Sprint, I know, was resolved yesterday. I don't know if you got the, if you have a T-Mobile phone, if that was resolved today. Hopefully you got the text message and no bounce backs. So I apologize, but you should be getting your text messages, which are few. I don't try not to bombard you, but whenever there's a live broadcast, I will text you. If you'd like to be part of that text messaging setup and you're located, you have a cell phone in the U.S. or Canada, just text the word confetti to the number 714-441. The word is confetti, C-O-N like November, F like Frank, E-T-T-I, to 71441. All right. Great. Helga says she always receives it. She's with Verizon. Yeah, it seemed like it was just T-Mobile and Sprint that had some issues, but Sprint has been resolved. Hopefully by now T-Mobile has also. All right. First question out the gate is from Yuri, who I believe is here in the chat room today. And Yuri's question is, I have a question regarding the contract and budget of the client. So, and her question goes on to say, the client is signing a contract for you to help them plan their wedding. She got a question mark. That's a question. If I charge $3,000 for my services, I need to make sure they can pay me that and still have a big enough budget to pay for their wedding, question mark. Or is my, okay, so I'm not saying it in the right tone. So these are questions. Or is my job just to help them plan their wedding with what they can afford? She also goes on to say, when you go over the client budget, do you usually have cost estimates of vendors, florists, etc.? I guess overall, it sounds like you were saying to talk budget, your fee and wedding details before you sign the contract. Okay, so let me back up. I should give you some more information here. Yeri, I hope I'm saying your name correctly. Y-E-R-Y. Yeri's comment was based on the article on Weddings for a Living about wedding planner contracts. And if you go to weddingsforaliving.com and search for contract, you'll see that article there. So guess what Yuri's asking, and she's in the chat room and can clarify if I'm not getting this quite right. She wants to know, you know, how the budgeting thing goes and with the fee. So when you decide to sign, when you become a wedding planner professionally, meaning someone's paying you to plan their wedding, there are different ways to do this. You can either charge a flat fee, you can charge a percentage of their budget, you can charge by the hour. So yeah, you want to make sure that really the way it should works. Really, the way it should work is that your client should, whatever their budget is, they should be able to fit your fee into that budget. So if they have $50,000 to spend for their wedding and your fee is $2,000, excuse me, you should be able to give them, if you're doing full service, you should be able to give them that $50,000 wedding for $48,000. And that is minus your fee. That's how it should work. So whatever your fee is, however you come up with it, which is a completely different topic, Yuri, is you want to make sure your clients can pay that. But depending on their budget, there may not be any room for you as the wedding planner. Once you go into business, whether you're planning weddings or doing anything else, you need to have whatever your minimum fee is. And if your minimum fee consumes most of their budget, then they cannot in good conscience hire you. What would be the point? All their money's going towards you. So if your minimum rate for full service is $5,000 and someone's total wedding budget is $10,000, then hiring you, there's a disconnect. They either need a lower priced wedding planner or they need to plan the wedding themselves. So that's how your fee fits in. Your fee is your fee. That really shouldn't be negotiable. It's, you know, this is my fee to provide the service that you're asking. It will definitely depend on the wedding and the level of service that you're providing. You said, is your job to help them plan their wedding with what they can afford? It depends. You can plan the entire wedding. You can plan a portion of the wedding. You may just be the person they sit down and talk to for an hour or two and you charge them a fee for that. There are different levels of service. So if you haven't already checked that out, Yuri, you might want to look, when you go look at weddingsforaliving.com, there's a link that says getting started. and read through that, and that'll give you some pointers as to which articles you can look at to help you get to the right place. So it can help you understand how you what your role is as a wedding planner, but it varies. I mentioned earlier I just got off doing a live class for Wedding Business Guide. That's all about day of, which means we're not planning the client's wedding for them. They're planning most of their wedding. We are there at the end to help them execute the last portion. So we will get all the vendor contracts that they have already done on their own, set up those arrangements on their own, create a timeline for them, direct their wedding rehearsal, and we'll be there for a certain number of hours on their wedding day. That's a flat fee, and it is what it is. That fee changes depending on how many hours we're there and how many hours they want us to meet with them before the wedding. So you can charge differently, but you need to figure all that stuff out before you say, I'm in business. A lot of wedding planners don't do this. They set up their website and they're very excited to do so, determine what levels of service they're going to provide, but they haven't put any consideration is into how they're pricing those services. That's a very, very important element of running any business. Any business. So you want to kind of get that straight in your mind, but it really depends again on the level of service you're providing. And what price you charge has a lot to do with your expenses and how much you think your time is worth. A brand new planner will charge a different rate than someone who's been in the business for 10 plus years. Someone who's doing full service upscale weddings will charge differently than someone who's doing full service where the budget is a lot more modest. So it varies. There isn't one set way to do this. Usually, when you're charging your fees, though, you will collect some of it, which is the deposit when someone signs the contract, and then they will pay you either in increments leading up to the wedding, or they will pay based on whatever payment schedule you put in place. Normally, for wedding planners, I would suggest you collect all your money before the wedding day gets here. It's very difficult to get money after a wedding has taken place. Once the wedding is over, the wedding planners are usually the ones that don't get paid. So it'll happen to you once and it won't happen a second time. You collect your money before the day gets here. So if someone hires you 10 months before the wedding, you can divide that up into 10 equal payments or 5 equal payments or 3 equal payments or split it right down the middle. You collect half when they sign the contract and the other half maybe a week or 10 days before the wedding. Okay, so that's how you get your money and that's how it ties in with the contract. Yeri's other question was, when you go over the client budget, do you usually have cost estimates of vendors and florists? Yeah, you have to. You have to know what the average cost of what weddings cost in your area, and not just average. You need to know the cost of weddings and the different elements. And a big part of what we should be doing as wedding planners is going out and meeting with vendors who provide those services. So you'll go out and meet with florists and caterers and cake makers and limo companies. You need to do that's your research and homework before you put, place your shingle and say, I'm in business. You have to find out what the rates are, what those costs are, so that when someone says to you, I want a wedding at this location, and this is how much money we have to spend on the wedding, you can say, yeah, we can do that. Or you can say, that may not work with this budget based on the cost of these different elements in this area. So there's a lot of homework and research that needs to be in place before you say, I am planning weddings. And many wedding planners, for whatever reason, don't do this. I think it's the eagerness to get started. And the reality is, planning weddings as a business owner and planning weddings as an employee for an institution or a company is different. And you need to decide which category you fall in, because once you become a business owner, there's way more going on than just planning weddings. There's a whole lot of other things you've got to figure out: insurance, pricing. Where's my office? Where am I going to meet these people? My website, what's that going to look like? Do I need to get a separate place to meet with them, or can I do this from home? Will I meet them at their place? Where will I meet my vent? Where will I train my staff that's going to help me? All of those things you have to think about. So I think a lot of us, I think the holy grail for us is to run our own business, but it's not such a bad thing if you can get work, if you can get a position planning weddings on somebody, with another established company. So, Yeri, I think your last part was, I guess overall, it sounds like you're saying to talk budget, your fee, and wedding details before you sign the contract. Yeah, there's a lot that's got to go on. You know, it's a sales process. It's like anything else. And which is why I say a lot of us are really excited about weddings. But when you decide to be a wedding planner, business owner is the difference. There's a lot of things that have to go that are involved that you've got to take some time and figure out, which is why many businesses say, you know, you got to have a business plan. I don't know if you need a traditional business plan, but you need to have a course. You need to know where you're going and which direction you're headed in. With your business. All right, Yuri, I hope that answers your question. It was a little convoluted there, but I know you asked a lot of different bits and pieces in there. Okay, next question that I received is from Ken. And Ken says, I eliminated the first part of Ken's question. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Sorry, Ken. Ken asked, awesome site. I'm just starting my new wedding planning business, happily marrying. Wonderful. To be honest, I haven't planned any weddings yet, but am very keen to do so. I'm not a stranger to organizing major events, though, and I'm confident I can do a professional job. I read in other areas mainly women are wedding planners, but can't see any reason why men can't, so thought I'd do it. My wife and I have been married for 31 years and would love to help people with a new start in life. That's amazing. Congratulations. I've done plenty of research into planning weddings, though, and am currently studying the Graduate Certificate of Arts and Entertainment Management. What I would like to know is how I might begin to obtain clients. I have a page on Facebook and I have a website, but haven't had any response so far. I was thinking, should I be honest and say I haven't done any weddings, but assure them I will do a fantastic job? Or just tell them if they ask. I've also been having trouble getting traffic to my website as it doesn't come up when I search Google, only if I type the whole address in the browser. I've done all the verification things in Google's webmaster tools, but still nothing has happened. Would you have any advice to get me started, please? All right, Ken, thanks for writing and thank you for your kind words about the Weddings for Living website. A lot of things going on there, but it's a typical question. When you decide planning weddings and enjoying planning weddings doesn't necessarily equate to I want to run a wedding business. That's what we do, but there's so much more involved, right? So here Ken says, first of all, can he plan? He's a guy. Absolutely, you can. Some of the top celebrity wedding planners are guys. So I think it's good to have a male perspective when planning weddings, and that could be very appealing to someone who's planning to get married, especially. The fact that you yourself have been married for 31 years, that's an amazing thing in this day and age. Oh my gosh, I sound like my mom. But that's amazing in and of itself right now. And it says you've done plenty of research into planning weddings. That's a good thing. I hope you have done research in planning weddings in your area, though, because there has to be a need. What a lot of us do is we say, I want to do this for a living. And I'm going to see are there any takers? You have to research and make sure that there is a need for what you're selling. And in this instance, we are selling our wedding planning services. Are people hiring wedding planners? Are they getting married? Are they spending enough on their wedding that would allow them to afford a wedding planner? Because if the answer is no, then you're going to have a very hard time running your business. So you have to make sure make that determination. Finding clients is the key to any business. And my first suggestion is always to talk to wedding vendors. You cannot plan this wedding in a vacuum unless you're providing each individual service, unless you're providing the food, the flowers, the limo. You need vendors. And part of your research in starting a wedding business should be talking to area vendors. Now, Ken, you didn't mention that in your comment, and I don't know if that means you have, but forgot to include it. But you've got to talk to vendors. They are out there doing weddings all the time. So they need to know that you exist so that they can send clients your way. And also so that you can find out from them, what's the deal with weddings? They're doing weddings. They can tell you what's going on. They can tell you how much people are spending. They can tell you what's popular. They can tell you what's passé, what's trending. Those are the things that you have to find out from area vendors. That should be part of your research. I'm a huge fan and advocate of having a specialty. You have to do something different with your wedding planning business to help you stand out. Wedding planning is becoming so popular now that people are signing up in droves to be wedding planners. But I don't know how much thought is going into running a business. Remember, a business is an adventure that's going to create income for you. planning weddings for the heck of it is fine, just for fun, that's different. But if you want to have a business that's viable, that's successful, that's making money, you've got to do some research and some homework. And I found that by having a specialty, you're going to stand out from everybody else that says that they're a wedding planner. It doesn't, that means you won't appeal to everyone, but you shouldn't be trying to appeal to everyone. You cannot please everyone. So you find a group that you're drawn to, and you focus on that area, whether it's same-sex weddings, whether it's vintage weddings, whether it's Jewish weddings, whether it's weddings that have 100 guests or less, or only the huge weddings with 300-plus guests, weddings that are destination weddings that are happening on the beach. You've got to find an area that you are drawn to and that there are people who are also drawn to that, and then offer them that service. You may decide, I'm only going to do day of, or you may decide, I'm only going to do full service, or you may decide, I'm not even going to get my money from brides. I'm going to set up a business like the wedding library, where vendors pay my fee and my service is free to everyone else who's planning a wedding or an event. Okay, so you've got to figure out where your corner of the wedding planning industry is, and then by doing so, then you'll know who your target bride is, your target groom. Who are you going after? Is it someone who's spending $50,000 on their wedding and more? Or is it someone who is only planning a Christian wedding where God is a central theme? Is it someone who's planning a Jewish wedding? Once you narrow it down, your life will become so much easier, Ken, in determining where to go for customers. Because if you're just a general wedding planner, and I looked at your website, it looks great, but it isn't speaking to me for any one particular type of couple. It's sort of anyone who's getting married can come here. And your website, by the way, doesn't specify which area you service. I can't tell which part of the world you're located. And I think that's a big thing. So people are using Google, people are searching online, but they don't search for your company by name. They search for the service or product they're looking for, and they're looking for the area. So if you're in Washington, D.C., and you want people to find you, your website has to indicate that you are a wedding planner that services Washington, D.C. area brides and grooms. And that's how people will find you outside of you giving out your website name. So you're saying you're not getting any traffic. That might be part of it right there. There's more to building a wedding business than putting up a website. And Wedding Business Guide members know what I'm talking about. We just finished talking about this in the live class. Everything, you may have heard this content is king statement. And what that means is people are looking for information. You are going to have to give some information in order for you to get clients. People have to respect and know that you know what you're talking about. And there needs to be information. It can't just be, I'm a wedding planner, These are my fees. Give me a call. Why am I calling you? Why would I call you? Now, if you're specializing, that might be a huge incentive for me to call you. But beyond that, I need to see that there needs to be information. And what about people that don't even realize that there is a wedding planner or that they need a wedding planner? Maybe you've got to have information. So if I'm planning a wedding, I'm probably going to look for venues in my area. I'm probably looking for vendors in my area. I may be looking for some ways to save money. I'll probably be looking for ways to make that wedding reception look fantastic. So knowing that, if I create on my website, if I have information that answers those questions that I just mentioned, people searching for those services are going to find the articles that answer those questions. And once they find the articles that answer those questions, they're on my website. Oh, wait a minute. This person also provides planning services. So all of those things play a part in you finding customers. It can't just be, I'm a wedding planner, I've got my training, I'm putting up a website, I can't find customers. How do I find customers? And I get this question all the time. In order for me to maybe point you in the right direction, if I know what you're doing that's different, then I can say, okay, then you might want to check this out. If you're doing Christian weddings, then you might want to head up, you want to go where Christian couples would be looking for information. Where do they worship? You know, who are the people that they're talking to? What are they reading? Where are they going? So that becomes so much easier. And then you may not even need to ask me those questions. You can probably answer those just by knowing who your target client is. So getting traffic to the website, I think a lot of us have fallen prey to internet marketing. And internet marketing is the way it's an industry that allows people to make money online. Very lucrative if you know what you're doing. But a lot of it is hype. I'm here to tell you. A lot of it is hype. you still are providing an offline service. You're planning weddings for people. That's not an online service. That's offline. You've got to go out there and pound the pavement, talk to vendors so that they know you exist. And you also have to create content, information that's helpful to people in your area planning a wedding. Once you do that, they begin to trust you and realize that you are someone who is a provider of information and you are someone they should be in contact with. People come to a website and they leave. At some point, we click away. So you want to try to grab people before they leave, not literally, right? But, you know, collect information. Maybe you have some great tips about how to plan a wedding wherever you are in the world. And in order for you to give them that information, they've got to give you their email address and maybe their phone number. So right then and there, they've exchanged information, you've got their contact information, and you have given them something of great value. And what that means is now that you have their contact information, you can check in with them every now and then. Every week you can send them a new tip, or every week you can send them a great offer or something like that. So you're keeping the lines of communication open instead of someone visiting your site, looking around, and then going away. You've got the likelihood that they will return to your website is slim to none. That may be a hard pill to swallow, but it's the truth. Unless you give them a reason to come back, or unless what you're saying is so on point with what they're looking for that they are so that they can't do it, they realize I've got to call this guy. This is exactly what we're looking for. So we cannot be everything. We cannot be the solution for every couple getting married. We need to find what type of couples we can help and do that really, 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 really well. So if that means same-sex couples, if it means an intimate wedding, if it means only large weddings, if it may only be weddings that happen in certain venues, that's a really good way to get started. If you have like four favorite venues in your city, your town, your area, you can specialize in those. You could become the preferred wedding planner for each of those venues. You go to those venues and say, I'm planning weddings, and these are the only venues in town I really like. So anyone that comes to you to plan a wedding and you think they need my help, here's my information. I'm offering a free ebook, or I'm offering a free tip sheet. They can get that. And I just want to focus on these venues, and you're one of my preferred venues. When that venue gets clients coming in to look at that space and they realize that that couple needs help, they're going to send them to you because you've said to them, I'm not planning weddings for everybody in town, just these venues, and one of them is yours. Right there, you've created a specialty, and you've become focused on just four areas. And you may say to yourself, well, now I'm limiting myself. You are limiting yourself, but all the business that goes to those four venues are going to come your way. So you may get to the point where you have more business than you can handle. And isn't that what we want with our wedding business? So be brave enough, be bold enough to step into a little area and say, this is the corner that I'm going to take. This is what I want. But also, Ken, you know, in response to your question about the website, when I looked at it, I couldn't tell which area you service. So Google is looking for that information in order to determine who to send your way. Because if you're in China and I'm in the US, USFA and planning a wedding here in the US, I don't need to see your website for wedding planning services in China. Do you get that? So you want to help Google. You help yourself to help Google find you and narrow down what it is that you do. So a lot of responses there. I don't know if that helps, but you know, these are things we have to think about before we launch, as we're launching our business, and decide, do I have the time? Do I have the energy? Do I even have the desire to go through all of that? Because all of this plays a part, and I'm going to say it, and I'm tempted. I don't want to put you off. There are lots of people who can plan weddings well, but only a small segment of that group are entrepreneurs that can run a successful business. It's tough. It's tough, especially when you're in an industry where people don't think they really need you. A lot of people don't think they need a wedding planner. They don't get it. So you have to make sure that you're doing something that helps you to stand out. Why make yourself work? Why make yourself work? Why make yourself do all that extra work when you can make your life so much easier and much more profitable? Okay? All right. Let's see. Close is saying it's all about building trust. Yes, exactly. Draw them in with your niche. Yeri asks, how often... Oh, let me respond to guest 922 who says, Ken, if you want your website to perform and appear in searches without paying Google, you need to read up on SEO, which is search engine optimization. If you follow the various advice available online, in a couple of months, you will be able to type up wedding planning in XXX area on Google and your website will come up. I hope this helps you. Yeah, so SEO is search engine optimization, which means all the things you can do for your website to increase the likelihood that you will show up when someone is searching for the service or product that you offer. So again, this is part of internet marketing. And be careful with that. Don't get drawn into too much. There are layers and layers and layers of that. But the truth is, if you're providing content that the people that you're trying to target want, they're going to find you. And I mean, I'm oversimplifying it, really. But that's what it comes down to. But there are some things that will enhance the likelihood that you will show up. But you've still, your number one priority should be your clients. And then it should be the search engines. Sometimes we get that a little twisted. They can play nicely together, but you have to make sure your website, and there are things you can do, like the bar on the top of your webpage needs to have where you're located instead of your business name. So instead of saying, you know, Ken's Wedding Planning Service, it should say Wedding Planner, Washington, D.C., if that's where Ken is. And, you know, different pages, and each page you want to dedicate to a different area or different topic. There's a lot that you can read up on. And, you know, as Guest 922, that's the person in London, right? Said that, you know, you can read up search engine optimization. And I think Ken has already done that because he mentions, you know, that he's done the verification things in Google's Webmasters tool. So he's got gotten a start there, but there's more work to be done. But it does take time. If you're just doing and providing content on a regular basis, if you're updating your site on a regular basis with information, Google likes that because then it says, okay, this is fresh content. This is good information here. Yeri asks, let me go back. How often do you meet with a bride? Like go to see the venues and the caterers, et cetera. Yeri, that's a good question. And it depends on what they've signed up to do. When you're planning your packages and how you're going to do this, you should have a set number. This is what I do. I have a set number of meetings. So if someone needs a lot of handholding, there are a lot of things they need to do. They need more meetings with me. And so that means that they pay more, but they get more. You know, you can have set packages and say, this is my price. But I think what's better is to look at each situation, each wedding and say, okay, this person needs more of my help. So this is how much it's going to cost. When you meet with a client or a prospect is someone who has not become a client. They haven't signed the contract yet. That's the time for you to find out what help they need and how you can help them. And then really what it is, you go back home, go back to your office and figure out a proposal that matches what they want. And you say, this is how much it's going to cost for what you need. Either they say, great, or they say, that's too much. And then what you do is you take some things away to lower the price. Or if you decide to, which I wouldn't recommend, is you lower your price and you give them exactly what you offered, but at a lower price. You know, you give them the same thing for less. I wouldn't recommend that. Take some things away and then let them decide, okay, we'll pay less, but get less, but we can live with that. Or we really want Yuri, so we're going to pay that money to have her on board. That's why you have to specialize and become this know-it-all in a certain area, because people will want what you're selling if you're doing something that no one else is offering. So if I'm planning a small wedding and everyone else is doing, all the other wedding planners are doing these huge, huge weddings, but you do intimate weddings really, really well, but your fee costs more than all the other general wedding planners, I'm probably more likely to want to pay you the extra fee because you do this really well and you've got this figured out. So that's another beauty of the specializing. I like to use the doctor example. You know, paying the specialist doctor, the doctor who has a specialty like the OBGYN, and paying the family doctor, it's a different rate because the OBGYN is where you would go if you're a woman and you're having a baby. That's who you go and see normally, right? So it's the same sort of principle in the wedding business thing, although, of course, we're not doctors or anything unless you happen to be. Okay, so I hope that helps. Guest 922 says, I keep on being contacted by brides. I'm super helpful, give them all the info on paperwork, venues for free, and then they go and organize it all themselves. Ooh, at what point do you say, thanks for contacting me, I can organize your wedding, but I charge X amount in order to start researching your wedding? Do people do this, and does it put brides to be off? That's how you run your business. It's a good question, and it's something you learn as time goes on. When you meet someone for the first time, this is how you have to think of it, is, say your name again, guest 922, it's Marissa or something like that, right? I'm sorry. When you're meeting someone in that getting to know you session. And that's what you have to think of it as. It's a getting to know you session. The only reason for that meeting is for me to find out what it is that they need and for me to see if I really want to do business with them and for them to see if they like me, because planning a wedding is a personal thing. If someone doesn't really get you or like you, or as my daughter likes to say, isn't feeling you, there's nothing that can go on. It doesn't matter what you're charging. If they don't like you, there's not a connection. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Nothing is moving forward. That's all that meeting is about. They want to ask you about, you know, where can they find this and where they can find that. You say to them, I can help you do that, but that's a fee. That's a service that I charge for. That's it. That's all you have to say. Now, on your, you know, if you have a blog, a website, which is a good idea, you should. You can give them some tips here and there, but you need to practice to say that that's a service I charge for. But if you're thinking in your mind, this meeting is just for me to get to know them and them to get to know me, then you'll have less concern. There will be less of an issue. You're not going there to plan. And they're going to say, so do you know of any great caterers? Oh, yeah, several. And based on your situation, I can think of a few. Oh, great. Who were they? Well, that's part of, you know, that's the service I charge for. That's it. Ain't got to say nothing more than that. Either they get it or they don't. If someone's coming just to get information from you without paying you, they had no intention of hiring you in the first place. None. They're wasting your time. So if someone is offended by you saying that, let them go. I think the problem comes in is when you're a new wedding planner and you really want to get started, you feel you have to do these things to get brownie points. That's the only way I can think of it. You don't have to do that. If someone believes that you are quite capable and competent of giving them the service that they cannot or choose not to do themselves, they will hire you. But they have to believe that. And if you come across as weak and slightly insecure, they're going to take that for all it's worth. It comes with time. It comes with practice. And that's all I can say. You just get used to it. You'll get burned a couple of times. It has to happen that way. It's just like growing up. You know, our parents try to tell us and we don't listen. And then we get it, usually when it's much too late. But then we get it. And then we try to do the same thing with our children. It's that same thing. You'll give away some information and then they'll sound really sincere, like they're going to come back and do business with you, and they won't. And the next time around, you won't do that. You won't say all of the things that you said in that initial meeting. It's just sort of like a rite of passage. But you have to decide, in your mind, say, this is just a way for me to get to know these people and for them to see if they want to do business with me. But you have to be professional enough and secure in yourself to say that that's a service that I charge for. Once you sense that someone is just trying to get information out of you without paying for it. And again, if they're put off by it, they probably had no intentions of hiring you anyway. And you'll get better at it. You'll know what to say on the phone when they call, and you'll know the questions, the probing, because you'll get the call. How much do you charge? That's usually the first question. How much do you charge for a wedding? So, you know, I usually say, you know, oh, great. I'm glad you called. What's going on with you? Are you planning? Are you at the beginning stages? Are you at the end? Have you found your vendors yet? And you let them talk. You begin to start asking open-ended questions so they talk. And really, during that first meeting, they should be doing about 75% of the talking. You'll know what questions to ask. And you're going to say, well, what questions do I ask, Debbie? It's these open-ended questions for them to give you information. And really what you're doing is you're taking notes about what they're saying. And then I know it sounds silly, but this is really what happens, is you read back all of what they just said to you. So it sounds like you're getting married at the end of June next year. You want to get married outside, and you want to stay close within this area, and your budget's about $40,000. Is that about right? And they're going to say yes, and they're nodding their head saying yes, yeah. And each time they're saying yes, it's a subconscious way of them agreeing to do business with you. You're reading back what they've just told you. So you get them to talk, and you hold off. That means that you don't get that verbal diarrhea where you start giving them all the information. You don't say a word with regard to what, you know, all the details. Well, I shouldn't say it. You don't give out all those details until they sign that contract. And again, someone's going to say to you, yep, we want to sign the contract. You sound like the right person. We're going to get that to you tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, they're gone. That's okay. You move on to the next one. But it comes with time. As with anything, just practice and do more and more of those situations. Okay? It's Marilissa. Is that how I say it? From London. I'm sorry. Thank you. So it's all par for the course. It's not so bad. I'm telling you, it's not so bad. You'll go home and be mad, and you'll be upset, and you'll talk about it for entirely too long. Been there, done that. And then the next time, you know, you'll lick your wounds, and then you'll go back at it, and you'll say, okay, next time I'm not saying all of that. I'm not asking. I'm going to be ready to say no. and it'll feel a little uncomfortable. And you'll say, yeah, sure, that's the service I charge for. And you'll say nothing. And then either they'll move on or, you know, it comes with time.
Okay, so as you can see, we went through some really great Q&A for wedding planners. But the audio was kind of long. The episode was a little long. So I've split it up into two parts. So you just listened to part one. Please stay tuned and catch part two in an upcoming episode. So that'll be confettitalkshow.com/366-2. This is episode 366-1. Okay, as always, love and success. Talk to you soon.
The wedding business talk show.